The first task engineers face is to divert the entire river flow and remove all water from the dam build site. A few key structures were built for this purpose, the first of which are four massive water diversion tunnels. They average nearly 4,000 feet long apiece, or 3/4 of a mile, and are 56 feet in diameter. To split up the enormous undertaking, special access passages called adits are excavated first, about midway between diversion tunnel openings, at what would be the downstream face of the dam's foundation. In mining terms, a tunnel generally passes all the way through, while an adit is open at only one end and might connect to a tunnel. Let's head down to the adit opening at the Nevada side of the canyon. Some of the first blast holes were drilled from boats or barges on the river itself, before a shelf of rubble was formed to work from. This is an air-powered, diamond-tipped drill, also called a drifter drill. The tip, or bit, has inlaid diamonds called bort, which are darker, non-gem quality, imperfectly formed stones that serve various industrial uses. This bit can last through several thousand feet of rock drilling before needing service. Among bit types used are plug bits, as shown, and core bits. Designed to leave a cylinder of material at the center, for example, to take long samples of rock at various depths for inspection. Drill steel can be added as drilling progresses for boring hundreds of feet deep. The drill would have a nearby air compressor and water for lubrication. Holes are placed a couple feet apart and dynamite inserted to blast away the rock. These adits are 10 feet wide by 8 feet tall, averaging 700 feet in length, and took around 3 months to complete. Having reached the intersection with diversion tunnels, 12 by 12 foot tunnel headings are opened here at the midpoint. And at tunnel ends. From here on out, work progresses from all of these sites at once until they meet. Let's have a look at how drilling and excavation proceeds as we head to an upstream tunnel opening on the Nevada side. We see the 12 by 12 foot central heading opened into the rock. Rock drills can be mounted to a metal pipe or brace for stability. In this case, multiple braces and drills. There would be an operator at each drill for faster progress. My model shows huge stacked slabs beneath that, inside of the intended 56 foot diameter final tunnel size. These correspond to drilling and excavation sections. They're about 15 feet high, drilled to a max roughly 23 foot deep. For these sections, a special mobile drilling rig was built on the back of a heavy truck. It can hold many drills on three separate levels. I've shown 18 drills attached to the rig here. The top two drill rows handle the upper and middle bench, while the bottom drills take on the lower portion in successive rounds of drilling for between 26 to 30 holes in all. A raised flat section is left in the middle of the tunnel to act as a construction road. The top heading progresses one round of drilling ahead of the main section. Heading drills also handle smaller wing sections at either side. The heading wings and main benches are blasted at the same time. To remove resulting rubble, 100-ton electric shovels are used, and trucks. Some of these were specially made trucks that had much more horsepower, twice the carrying capacity at 16 cubic yards, and weighed much less than other heavy trucks of the period, with frames made of special lightweight aluminum alloys. Excavation started with headings in June 1931. The complete tunnel excavation, minus the elevated road part in the middle, finished in April 1932, nearly a year later, with an average advancement of about 73 feet per day. The raised road in the middle was also then removed, which took another 3 months. It's a total excavation of some 15,900 plus feet, or about 3 miles of tunneling at 56 feet across. Staggering. After excavation, the tunnels are lined with concrete at an average 3-foot wall thickness throughout for added durability and smooth water flow within. The lowest section is lined first. A rolling crane, called a gantry, rides on curbs poured at either side. Trucks bring in concrete, for example, in 2-yard capacity hopper buckets. Which are lifted up over metal forms. Once poured, the concrete is smoothed into shape with a screed plate, in this case a metal arched beam that slides along the concrete forms. Next, the sidewalls are lined with a rolling rig called the sidewall jumbo. Metal arched side plates have chutes and openings for pouring concrete. Which is lifted into position from a metal crane. And finally, we see the arch jumbo rig for placing concrete in the overhead section of the tunnel. Since concrete can't simply be poured out in this case, it's pumped through delivery hoses with a following rig and machinery. With concrete placed, the 56-foot tunnel bore is now a 50-foot interior diameter lined tunnel. To seal and strengthen the installation, grout is injected through the concrete into surrounding rock. Holes are drilled at intervals and depths from 24 to 50 feet deep and more, depending on location and desired outcome. Large rolling rigs, like those used for concrete, carry machinery through the tunnel to pump grout at closely monitored pressure targets into these holes. Extra grout is needed above the tunnel where concrete has settled more. Grout bears similarities to concrete. It's essentially a mix of powder elements, or cement, and water that cures solid. With concrete, larger particles or aggregates are added to cement, like gravel, stones, or rocks. Grout generally has a much finer and possibly more liquid consistency overall, allowing it to be pumped into and properly fill cavities. Both between concrete and stone, and into the rock mass itself. Thus, the natural crevices, fault lines, and cracks are filled solid, down to the smallest of cavities at fractions of inches. The tunnel is bound and sealed with the surrounding rock to form one monolithic structure. Numerous drill cores are taken to inspect the rock and grout, ensuring proper grout penetration, curing, and so on through the desired depth. We're going to see a lot more of this process as the project progresses, combining concrete and pressurized grout injection to essentially weld the dam installation into the rock, forming one massive unified structure.